Our presenter today will speak up to 50 minutes, we should say, maybe a bit less, we'll see how that goes. We won't take any questions during the presentation, because some might be a little hard of hearing, but you'll have a chance to write down any questions during the break. And then afterwards the speaker will respond to those, and we'll also pass this mic around for anybody who wants to ask a question that they haven't written down. We will wrap up in time for seniors to drive away in their carriages before they turn to pumpkins at 3 o'clock. Can I just put in a quick plug here? One of our members, Christine Archilock, would ask me to notify people about this. This is the Renaissance Singers and Festival Singers, Requiem to Radiance. This is a concert on Saturday the 23rd. If you're interested, you can pick up one of these flyers off the desk at the back there. So our speaker today is Chrisanna Love, who is the Resilience Coordinator at RECAP. And RECAP, I always have to have this written down, means Resilience and Engagement of the Community of Ashurst and Pahomena, Incorporated. Now, trying to find out about Chris on the internet did not get me very far. But I did learn that if she's not seen much on the cloud, she is seen very, very much on the ground in Ashurst and Pahomena. I found a short video in which Chris praises Ashurst as a friendly, walkable place where everyone knows each other's children. But you forgot that was there.
No, it's
the only one I could find. And to judge from the many activities of RECAP, Chris is clearly one of the people who makes Ashurst a good community. Her topic today is Think Globally, Act Locally, a grassroots approach to food security. Please welcome Chris Love.
Kia ora koutou, is that alright for everybody?
Yep.
Now, I'm at the end of a head cold, so I'm hoping my voice will last and I don't have to make everyone suffer through me blowing my nose near a microphone. Right, so my name is Chris. As mentioned, I'm the Resilience Coordinator for a charitable organisation called RECAP. Again, that is the Resilience and Engagement of the Community of Ashurst and Pahomena. I'm not a big fan of tech, so I've got this few, I don't have a PowerPoint today, I've just got a few photos. Down the back we've got some printed materials, just a little bit more information about our Seed Library initiative, about some of the things that RECAP do, and there's some flyers for some of our upcoming workshops. And we've also got a large box of golden kiwi fruit, if anyone would like to help us out. Yesterday at the food rescue we got 14 banana boxes. Last week we got 14 banana boxes, so I think Ashurst is pretty regular at this point. So if you want to cheer up, there's some paper bags here as well. So I'm going to start with a very quick, I'm going to start an overview of RECAP and its activities. I'll go into more detail on some of the more kai-focused things we do. I'll speak very briefly on the volunteering roles that led me to this money. And I'll finish discussing a few of the other organisations in our backyard and across the country that I find very inspiring. Especially there's a few around the place, not in the Manawatū, that I think would work very well in the Manawatū, so I'm hoping I can sow some seeds here and someone might have the motivation or the means or the connections to maybe make some of these things happen here. Now, RECAP's first meeting was held on February 1st, 2010, was registered as a charity in January 2014. RECAP is a volunteer-led charitable society for people from Ashurst and the Pahomena Valley who wish to build a stronger sense of community, care for the living environment and their local ecology, and develop new skills and connections that can help make the region sustainable, resilient and self-reliant. We base our work on the permaculture principles of earth care, people care for the Ashurst. We currently support a free seed library in the Ashurst library, a Pātsaka Kai, a sharing shelf outside of the library. We have an education garden next to our library. You'll hear the library turn up a lot. So that education garden, people can also walk through and pick the produce from the trees in the garden beds. We have a production-focused food garden on a bit of private land, and that's to provide sort of produce more in bulk for our community. We have a traditional Māori medicinal garden, a mararongoa, which runs alongside our health centre. We have a community orchard. We support a wetlands and bush regeneration project at Crows Bush. We have a monthly crop swap. We have a weekly rescued food distribution service, similar to Just Inch. We run garden clubs at two local schools, so at Ashes School, I've been there for 4 years, and we've just started one at Our House School in Wahangana, and that's focusing on teaching tamariki how to grow food. We look after a number of fruit trees in public spaces. We work with other local groups in the area to provide Christmas kaihambas to those in need at the end of the year. And we run educational workshops and seminars based in topics around resilience and sustainability for a number of age groups. So we have children's courses and beyond. So let's go into a little bit more detail about some of these. The Olsen Community Orchard began with a composting workshop. Sorry, I'll just occasionally flip this on. Your Olsen Community Orchard began with a composting workshop in April of 2012. From there, planting was done by volunteers in Tamariki from Ashurst School. In 2014, pruning workshops began at the orchard, which continue twice annually to this day. Our pruning workshops are free. They are very popular, and they provide participants a chance to actually get in and prune the fruit trees in our community orchard, which I think is a really unique opportunity. So we've got two experienced arborists who take people through, and everyone can get stuck in with the loppers and the secateurs, because, I mean, we try to have very practical kind of hands-on workshops, because it's one thing to read about something or be taught it, but when you're actually in there, you're learning it, it seems to stick. So we have the Ashurst Seed Library. We collect and are donated both open pollinated seeds from people's gardens and commercial seeds, although we gratefully receive the commercial seeds from a number of the country's biggest suppliers. We've got a couple of connections where if they've got some old stock, we will put it through our seed library. We're particularly interested in the seeds that are grown and collected in people's gardens around our area. For a few reasons. These seeds become acclimated to our microclimate and our growing conditions. So, you know, over time it builds a really strong seed stock. We've got some oak lettuce in there that's been growing in Ashurst since the 70s. And, boy, that stuff germinates. It hits the ground in Ashurst and it's away. We've got beans that have been around for a couple of decades. And with some of the changes that our government is putting through and trying to put through around modification of seeds, and we're sort of looking at, you know, in America they have patented seeds. It's kind of, we're moving towards a sort of dangerous space where people can't save their own seed. So I'm really pleased that we've been doing, Redcap's been doing this for such a long time, and we're continuing to do that because I think it's really important to build that seed stock. It's an incredibly valuable long-term resource. Our sharing shelf, our Pātapakai on library grounds, this is incredibly well used. I've often popped stuff on the shelf, done a lap around the block and it's gone. If we're lucky enough to get large volumes of fresh produce through rescue food distribution, it goes there, and I can bring it to places like this. We do get quite a lot of fruit and vegetables through our rescue food distribution service. It's quite interesting. I mean, you know, the supermarket duopoly that we have such stringent standards for how things need to look, it's amazing to me that we get such a high volume of that stuff when people are going to the supermarket and can't afford to buy it. So I try to get it out to the community as much as I can. So yeah, the Ashurst Sharing Shelf is great. There's a number of Pātapakai around Palmerston North. I'm not sure if anyone sort of watched the rise and decline of the one outside of Memorial Park, which unfortunately became a bit of a dumping ground for people. We had some problems with the sharing shelf a few years back, but because we have quite a small community, it really only took a little bit of communication and people were really good. So that sharing shelf is fantastic. We have a monthly crop swap. So the crop swap was one of the first things I started when I arrived in early 2021. It's been growing very well over the last 6 years, and now I barely have to advertise it, and I barely have to bring anything. I pretty much provide soup and cake every month that we do it. I think at this point, if I didn't, there would be a riot. So Manaaki Tanga and hospitality is a really big part of ReCap. When we do our workshops, there's always afternoon tea or morning tea or hot drinks. That was another thing that I was very big on when we first got there, was like developed, you know, like an easy to carry hot drinks kit to take down to the orchard or to take to our working base, because I think it's that whole sitting with a cup of tea and a biscuit and having that kōrero and that chat after the workshop is just as important as the learning, because connection in our community is such a big part of what we do. So yeah, the crop swap. Swap is a little bit of a misnomer. You don't have to gift in order to take, and I have to keep telling people that because they turn up empty-handed and they feel really bad. I'm like, no, you know, this is stuff to be given freely. So people bring produce, seeds, seedlings, gardening equipment, all kinds of bits and pieces, really. We have about 30 to 40 people coming each time, which is really fantastic. And that kōrero at the library is really good. There's a lot of very experienced gardeners who turn up to these and a lot of newbies. So that connection's really lovely because people can learn from others. It's a very, there's nothing wasted at the crop swap. So anytime anyone brings seeds, they get put into our seed library. Anytime anyone brings anything that there's excess of, we put it on the sharing shelf and it's literally gone within the day. So nice and circular there. So Community Kai is our rescued food distribution service. It was called the Rescue Food Distribution Service, and that was a huge mouthful, so we changed it to Community Kai. So that one, I was very inspired by the Shannon Kai Hub. A few years back, I think 2020 or early 2021, they opened. They do similar things in Shannon that ReCap do at Ashurst, but they have a social supermarket and an op shop, like a free and cheap op shop, you know, for people, and I thought that was really great. Why don't we have one of those in Ashurst? So we began in August of 2021. We promptly went into lockdown. So when we started, it was interesting times, as you'll probably remember. We did have to. It was quite a rough start because we had to sort of have people masked up and distancing and coming through and just handing the bag, and it all felt very transactional and cold. But I'm very glad that we were able to transition now into more of a social supermarket type model, which I really love, because people can come in and choose what we have on offer. I think it gives people back a bit of dignity rather than, you know, you get what you get kind of a situation. The reason I began Community Kai, really I was kind of looking at our geographical kind of issues. You know, I was kind of thinking, if you were in Ashurst, you didn't drive for whatever reason and you were just served by a public bus system. We're fairly underserved out there in terms of public buses. We do have them, but they are sort of random times of the day and quite often can leave you stranded in Palmerston for about 3 or 4 hours. And I was sort of thinking, well, if you were food insecure, you're out here, you don't drive, you know, and you've got all these wonderful resources in Palmerston. I mean, we do have a food bank out there, but it is quite small and can't service everyone. I sort of thought, well, you know, perhaps we can have something out in Ashurst. Just such, were more than happy to support us, which was great. So yes, we have two main groups that support us. Just Silch, we get donations from Just Silch, and we get donations from a group called Mission for Men, who work with the Pacifica Community Centre. And yeah, we're very lucky to be able to operate the way that we do. We, touch wood, have had enough donations to light out. We've seen quite a marked increase in people needing food in the last sort of, I guess, sort of this year. So we've been able to have enough for everyone at this point. Our volunteer group has grown at Community Kai to about 8 wonderful, wonderful women, who I love very much. They work like a well-oiled machine. I sometimes turn up and just stand around wondering what I can do at this point, which is fantastic. They get on really well. They've got, you know, built their own long-term relationships, and that's another really wonderful part about ReCap that I love, is watching these relationships build through volunteering opportunities. We're currently serving around about 70 to 80 whānau per week. So right from the start with Community Kai, I was very intent on trying to remove that shame or that whakama, that anxiety around accessing free food. So for me, This, much like Just Search, there's never been any means testing. You don't have to give us any information. You come along, you fill up your bag with what you need and what you want, and you nothing else needs to be done. It's a small community. We know our customers quite well. Again, back to my wonderful volunteers. We've got a couple of women who are there pretty much every week for the handout. One's a retired nurse and one worked for IHC, and the care and love that they have for other people really shines through. Quite often we end up as kind of de facto counsellors, which is fine. You know, it's actually nice to be able to have that closeness with the people that use that service. You know, if we find out that someone's going through a particularly hard patch of material hardship or personal issues, we can sort of provide a little bit more help for them, which is really wonderful. I'm really grateful we can do that. Yes, love community time. We care for a garden on the library grounds. We have vegetable beds and we have fruit trees. And we have something that we call the secret garden. So this is a production-focused community garden located on private land. So the reason we keep its location fairly quiet for a couple of reasons. One, it's private land and the providers of this land didn't really want the public traipsing through. And two, we kind of looked around at all of our comrades with community gardens named Martin and following other places. And quite often these places get stripped. It's the unfortunate thing about having public sort of spaces. It's that sometimes there's a rat bag or two that want to go in and take everything. So we, with that space, we really wanted to just focus on producing as much kai, as much fresh kai as we can for the community with sort of very little input. We're very lucky that we get access to free garden bed frames. We get the Palmerston City Council provides 8 cubic metres of compost for community groups, which is fantastic. And Awapuni Nurseries provides us with dirt cheap seedlings. So we've really created something there out of very little money and very little water. But we have 4 working bees a year. We grow brassicas all the way through the winter, and the amount of brassicas that place pumps out is crazy. And usually pumpkins, because they're pretty hands off during the summer. So it's just something we've got tucked away. We don't talk about it very often. I'm not going to tell you what it is. So, moving on. We run a twice weekly garden club at Ashurst School, and I've just in the last 6 months moved up to Owl House School, and I'm running one there. So I've been at Ashurst School for almost as long as I've been at RECAP. It was quite important for me to get into that garden space when I first started. I'm not too sure why. I just, you know, really thought it's kind of an important thing for kids to learn. So for 4 years I've sort of been working in that garden. We offer on Mondays I run a club for juniors, and on Fridays I run a club for seniors, very focused on producing food. We've sort of really grown a lot. I'm really proud of us at Garden Club. We've done a lot. We've started running a garden competition alongside Lamb and Calf Day activities. There was a gardening aspect to it, but it sort of fell away over the years, and I was pretty determined to get it back. So we run a competition through the Lamb and Calf Day there, where everyone gets a flexi tub and a bag of soil, and they've got to go away and grow their own, you know, berries or vegetables or flowers. So we had about 30 kids sign up last year, which I thought was a really good achievement. You know, I'm very big on gardening in containers. I think it's very accessible. I mean, a lot of these kids might not have a garden at home to work in. They had to write a little diary as to how they looked after their little garden, and honestly, I cried at some of them. They're incredible. I mean, these kids go, I loved going out and looking after my garden. I loved moving it around in the sun and we watered it. And we noticed this happen one day, and, you know, this summer, you know, Mum and Dad are going to let me go into one of the big beds, and I'm going to do this next year. And it was just so wonderful. A couple of years ago, too, I insisted that the school give out a garden prize. I mean, they have their academic prizes and their sports prizes. It's a very sports-focused school out there. So yeah, now the last couple of years we've had a contribution to Garden Club for seniors and juniors, which I really love. I really love teaching kids how to garden. It's been one of the joys of my job. I think with so much uncertainty with the political climate and the actual climate, you know, sort of putting pressure on our food systems, I don't really know what my children and these children, what kind of future they face. So for me, it's a really important part to actually pass down some of those basic skills around growing your own food, to build a better resilience for the future. And there's also a lot of, where we are, there's also a lot of farming families, and the kids come along and I try and drop some sort of regenerative agriculture kind of ideas for these kids. So hopefully if they take over the family farm, they'll think about it in a more sustainable way. So recaps, workshops and seminars. We aim to provide about 6 a year. We usually do more than that. So we do the 2 pruning courses that I mentioned. We do a composting workshop, which is coming up. This weekend we have a beginner gardening workshop focused on how to grow vegetables with as little money as possible. This one's really filled up fast this year. I wonder why. I think a lot of people are actually looking, you know, it's a lot of doom and gloom coming down the pipeline, you know. We don't know what our food situation is going to look like at the end of the year. We just keep getting told that it's going to be expensive. I'm very... I'm very happy that it filled up this year, but I'm not surprised. So I like this particular workshop as we look at building soil with natural resources that we can find for free around ourselves. It's very easy to go and drop $300 at a garden centre and have a lovely aesthetic setup, but it kind of defeats the purpose when you're trying to grow vegetables cheaply. I always tell people at the beginning of that one that we were gardening as a species long before the existence of Bunnings, so hopefully that sort of gets them looking at things you can do to build soil. A brief example of some of our past workshops. We've offered preserving, so Supergrains have come out, I think, 3 times now and done preserving workshops at the Village Holly Centre. Love Supergrains. I'll talk a little bit more about Supergrains, so... that was fantastic. So we used like rescued fruit for that as well. We, you know, got apples, windfall apples and things like that. We've done seed saving, we've done how to care for backyard chickens, we've done sauerkraut making, we've done sourdough making, we've done foraging, a few different foraging walks in our area, which have been really wonderful. Fruit tree guilds, which is sort of the strategic planting around fruit trees to support the tree's health and fruiting. So we do a lot of other... workshops. We've got one coming up on solar power, a few others throughout the year. But yeah, those are the ones that are kind of high focused. So RECAP has a board of 7 and a team of around 20 volunteers with a whole bunch of casual volunteers who come in and out for working days. Volunteers are our absolute backbone. I really love our volunteers. It's incredible how much work and how much good they do in the community. Just for an example, between 2024 and 2025, we have nearly 2,000... I mean, we average about 2,000 hours of work each year from the volunteers, which is such an amazing effort. And I think we actually get more because people really tend to underreport those hours. I think for a small community group with no office, no hub, we're not part of a national organisation, we're really just a group of people who want to make our community better. I think, you know, we're very high functioning, we get a lot done, and it really is due to volunteers. We've been working for well over a decade now in that area, and people come and go. I love the volunteers. There's so much that volunteers can achieve. So people really, I feel that people in Ashes really engage with our group quite a lot. But I do think it's kind of a geographical thing because we're quite a small village, and I do think Ashurst operates. I mean, it's kind of quite the definition of community or the definition of a village. It's really wonderful. Right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about volunteering. When my children were preschoolers, around about 10 years ago, we were living in Lower Hutt, did the math, realised it wasn't actually financially viable for me to go back to work, which is a situation that a lot of people are finding these days, looking at childcare costs and transport. And it was actually not cost-effective for me to go back to work. We did have access to that 20 hours of free early childhood care, so I started volunteering, mostly because I was bored. Didn't really want to be stuck doing dishes and washing in perpetuity, so I thought, well, what can I do with my 20 hours? I want to point out that this particular situation allowed me the time to volunteer. In my experience, through all the groups that I've worked for, in volunteering roles and paid roles, we're not really seeing a lot of younger people or middle-aged people come and volunteer. I think it's worth noting that you know, for a long while now, it really is, we need two incomes to survive. So it makes it quite difficult for people, in that kind of middle age and younger, to actually come out and volunteer. I certainly remember working 40 hours and coming home and doing, you know, what it's called the second shift. And just being, I mean, I'm sure you probably all remember from work, you know, from working, it's just you're brutally tired. You know, there's not really any energy for that. So I'm grateful that I was actually afforded a bit of time to do this. Many of my experiences weren't actually the most positive. I'm going to share them though. I think some negative experiences can be quite motivating when you see things that aren't working. Kind of gives you a bit of fire to instigate change. I'm a baker and a pastry chef by trade. That was another life I lived. I'm Good Bitches Baking, because that is actually the name of the organisation. This is an organisation that works across the country. They just connect home bakers with community groups and other people that might, you know, appreciate some home baking. So that was really easy for me. I was already baking for my kids, so I'd just chuck another couple of cakes in and there we go. It's a very easy into volunteering. Some of my baking went to a food bank in the Hutt Valley, so I decided to volunteer some of my time there. Now, this was a real eye-opener. I didn't very much agree with the way it was run. Perhaps it was a bit naive of me. We were in a warehouse, quite a large warehouse. I thought we were quite well stocked with food and other things. And then there was someone in a small room out the front who would interview people to see if they fit the criteria to either receive or not receive a food parcel. Now, obviously, there were rules in place as to, you know, how that was decided. I found the person who was doing that job treated people incredibly poorly. Very belittling, very invasive, very rude and abrupt. And we would hear everything out the back. That kind of would mean that people abused her quite a lot as well. And I just sort of listened to that cycle every shift, where I could, you know, kind of hear her hardening up to people. I stuck it out there for quite a long time, but I still, in my Gmail, have quite a long email to the board about how I felt about that. Perhaps that's a bit naive of me, but I just wanted a bit of a shock. I don't think people are helped when you kick them when they're down. But I walked away sort of just tucking that experience in the back of my mind as a sort of what not to do, which really informed the kaupapa when we opened Community Kai. When I did return to work, I took a role as a baker in a cafe in one of the government ministry buildings, I won't say which. I joined a few local Facebook groups that connected people with food. One was called Whānau Feeding Whānau, and it was essentially just that. You know, someone would be like, oh, look, I've had an unexpected bill, I need some milk and some bread and some formula, someone else would help them out. Someone would say, hey, look, I just pulled up all these potatoes, who would like some? It was really just that simple. Huge group, thousands of people, but, you know, just connecting. Fantastic. So I would take a lot of our leftovers from the cafe that day and just distribute them through Little Hut on the way home. Seems better than putting it in the bin, eh? I noticed at this ministry, and I'd imagine it goes on a lot of ministry buildings, awful lot of wasted catering. Not every day, but, you know, a lot of the time catering would come in. You know, in the afternoon I'd watch them just wipe it all off the bench into bin after bin after bin. So we talked, taxpayer money too. But, I spoke quite a lot with reception about how we could change that. And I was like, look, I'll spend some time packing that up and we can call City Mission or we can call one of the night shelters, I'll pick that up. And it was roundly dismissed as too hard and no, we don't want to do that. So two or three times a week I watched those lovely scones and sandwiches and things that would have been perfectly safe to send to someone else go in the bin, and it was another experience that we just tucked away at the back there. Working in commercial kitchens, you get trained out of food waste really fast, so it does become something that is very niggly. When we moved to Ashurst, I noticed that there were a lot of fruit trees. Someone who'd sort of spent a bit of time living in a more urban environment, so I was walking around going, everyone seems to have at least a couple of citrus trees back here. So, you know, still being a stay-at-home, well, being a stay-at-home parent again after we moved, I just put myself on Facebook and said, hey, look, I've got a stepladder and I've got a pair of secateurs. You know, if anyone's got any fruit trees, I'm happy to come over. So for about 3 or 4 months, I was just toddling around my little car, just picking people's fruit. But it was amazing the amount that went to the sharing shelf. Whole bootload of beautiful limes, lemons, grapefruit, every kind of fruit you could imagine, really. And a lot of these people that picked, older people or people with mobility issues where they didn't want the fruit to go to waste, but they didn't have the capacity, physical capacity to do it. So I built some really lovely relationships around the village. I still go and visit quite a few of them. I still get the odd message every sort of when the citrus season rolls around, oh, the mandarin tree's ready. So those were my experiences leading up to this mahi. I got asked, you know, what kind of training did you do to get into this work? What kind of qualification did you have? And there was nothing. I kind of look back and wonder why I was doing all this. I think a lot of it I'd attribute to a working class upbringing. We were never hungry, but I certainly noticed the pressures that my parents faced. I think that kind of lit a bit of a fire pretty early. And also, it's just common sense to me, you know, if there's someone that's hungry and there's food there, why not make that connection? So I tend to work on an ask forgiveness, not permission model, which has served me pretty well. I don't think change really happens when you follow the rules. I mean, I think you're hearing from Rebecca from Just Silk next week, and I'd say she's, you know, I look around and I see a lot of change makers who just saw a gap, saw a need, and went to fix it. In the past few years, I've been following a number of other grassroots organisations in the wider country whose approach to food security and sovereignty and what I would consider a very broken system, pretty inspiring. And I really want some of these things in the Manawa too. So first of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the groups in our backyard, which I think are doing really good work. Growing Gardens and Communities, started by the wonderful Beth Liu. Beth and her team would teach people gardening in their backyards. So food gardening in your backyard. There's now other local orgs who do this work. Really meeting people where they're at and sort of providing mentorship and support. On the ground, the Shannon Kai Hub, which I've mentioned previously. They're doing really great things over in Shannon. Shannon faces a lot of poverty, so I think they're really needed there. And again, you know, there was a group that looked at that and went, well, what can we do? Where can we fill a gap? Where can we help? So the Kai Hub and their free shop. And they do a lot of other initiatives out there. I found them really inspiring. And Sharon, who does my job over there, I find her particularly inspiring as well. Just Silch, as I mentioned, you'll hear from Rebecca next week, some of you. Rebecca's fantastic. She's really... when I think about the impact that Just Silch has had in the Manawa too, I just think it's incredible. And again, another person who didn't wait for permission. She just sort of saw a need, went, well, why can we fix this? Can we fix this? Supergrants, love Supergrants. Supergrants helps build resilience in the community by helping others develop sustainable life skills. So they've led preserving workshops for us. They teach cooking, sewing, knitting, preserving, a host of all other skills. I do love how they tailor their cooking classes to sort of particular demographics. Again, that's another group that's kind of filling a real need. And a lot of these skills aren't being passed down by generations as they once were, so I think it's really wonderful that they're doing that. So, across the country, there's another nice one. There we go. That's our lovely sharing. It's very colourful in the photo. So everywhere you look in our country, there are people and organisations dedicated to rethinking how we do food. I bring these ones up specifically, as I reckon they work really well in the Manawa too, and I'm hoping that in this group of people there might be someone with connections or means or motivation to maybe spark one to life. Everybody Eats. Everybody Eats is a restaurant chain, I guess. There are locations in Auckland and Wellington. Chefs are connected with rescued food, and they make restaurant quality meals. Now, this is a pay what you can model, so people can go in with no money in their pocket and get a high quality meal.
I'd love to see this in Palmerston.
Absolutely love to see this in Palmerston. I think we have the kitchen talent, I think we have the volunteer commitment, and I think we have the access to that rescued food. I think it would go off here. I really love the idea that you can sort of bring people together from very disparate, from all walks of life, really, to sit together communally and eat. People who are food insecure can go and have, a really nice meal. They can sit with dignity in a really lovely environment and have a really lovely meal, and people who want to give back could also do so, sit next to them and sort of have that meal as well and give back. Common Unity in Lower Hutt. So Common Unity is quite a large project. They have a hub called the Remakery. And it's sort of like a one-stop shop or a community hub. Again, I'd love to see something like that in Palmerston North. I've had this discussion with quite a lot of other people who work in other groups similar to RECAP, and we're always like, well, no, we're not. But if anyone's got a hot tip on a commercial lease. The Remakery is amazing. It's sort of a one-stop shop. At the Remakery, you'll find a cafe where a couple of times a week you can get a meal and a sweet treat for quarter. They have a commercial kitchen you can use. They have a compost hub where they collect people's green waste and turn it into compost and then go back to it. They have a community garden where they teach people how to garden, but also the produce gets put into the cafe. I saw they had a new workshop there called, which was Rangatahi, you're teaching Rangatahi how to grow food, and it was called Touching Grass, which I thought was perfect. I'd love to see something like that. I think I might do that in the issues section. They have a sewing area. They have the Sew Good Collective that's been going for quite a long time, I think about 15 years. But they repurpose textiles. They have sort of community sewing bees where they, turn these textiles into things to sell to make more money for the Remakery. They teach people how to sew. They've got bees. They sell their own honey. They sell their own beeswax. So do that, and they have a mulch collection so people can go and get mulch. So it really is, if you are in Lower Hutt, I would really suggest swing by. It's a fantastic place. It's just buzzing with energy. Just beautiful community spirit there. I'd love to see something like that in one or two. I think it would really work well. The last thing I want to talk about is Crooked Veg in Otaki. Now, this is a market garden with a bit of a difference. So this is a pay what you can or pay it forward model with CSA. So CSA stands for those who don't know, stands for Community Supported Agriculture. The CSA model is quite good because people pay a set amount to the growers, just kind of sharing in the risk and reward, I guess. So when it's really abundant, you get a beautiful, box of pie. When the season dies down, you may not, but you kind of ride that wave together. I really love that way of doing produce. I don't think our growers and our producers and our farmers are winning in the system either. To sort of go back to that, back to basics, I think it's really good, because I do think that we really do need to connect people back to where their food comes from. I really like particularly too that not only do they have that CSA model, but they also provide free kai. I think they work with Otaki School as well. They've got a garden here that feeds into these food boxes. You can support other people in your community by paying it forward, or you can pay what you can. So just to reiterate those three, so we've got Everybody Eats, Common Unity, or the Remakery, and Crooked Veg. So I've been sort of looking at those three initiatives for a while, just thinking that would work really well in one or two. So anyway, if anyone's got a hot tip on a commercial lease or a bit of private land, or that's actually me. I'm not too sure how long I talked for. I'll flip through a little bit more. So this is from Asher School. That's a basket of lovely produce from the crop store. That's another table from the crop store. I think we're at four tables now. We started with one. Now we get up to four or so tables. Such an abundance of citrus and ashes. So yeah, another crop swap. This is some of the stuff that we've distributed through Rescue Kai, Supergrams Preserving Workshop, using, again, windfall apples. compost workshop. So on the right there is Mr. Harvey Jones. He's the chairperson of Rupert, and on the left is one of our long-serving, it's Phil Stevens of Slow Farm. He runs a lot of workshops for us. Amazing man, full of knowledge. A number of things. He's leading a solar power workshop at Sashes School. Oh, I forgot to tell you. So this year we started a seed library at Ashes School, which was really neat. We saved a lot of the stuff that we just did last year, so I got to teach them what to look for, how to dry it, how to prep, how to save it. So that's now in the office area at Ashes School. It's been very popular with whānau. We've cleared that out about four times, so now we have to put it away until spring. But I was really happy to teach the kids how to do that, because it's such an important part of gardening and saving money when you garden. Yep, so that's us on the first day of collecting those seeds. This was from a workshop called Fairy Salad, which I did at the library for the kids. We had a bunch of edible flowers, so everyone got to make their own little fairy salad. And I gave away some edible flower seeds. Some of them were very brave, ate a lot of things. Some of them picked around, you know. So learning that there's a giant pumpkin we grew at our house school. It was actually hidden. I went back to clean it up in this year and found it tucked away. So that's being saved for the Matariki celebrations. That's a lovely picture of some of us. A few other bits and pieces. Really. I think we paused on that one earlier. This is a seed sowing and saving workshop. We do another one at the end of the year. Some of the brassicas that we're growing in the secret garden. Endless citrus potatoes that we've grown in the secret garden. Again, another haul from somebody's 20-year-old tree out in corn. Yep, corn that was grown for us. Yeah, there we go. A little bit of a visual overview. Yeah. That's it.
Hey, we've got a few questions here. So we'll just start with these, and then there'll be the roving mic.
This one's an easy one. Can people who live outside Wahana Nations use the sharing shelf and access workshops? 100%. Please come out and do a workshop with us. We would love that. And we get people from all over the place. We get people from where were we last time? Paiatoa. There was a group from there. We've got a woman who comes all the way from there pretty much every month for the crop swap because she just loves it. So please come out to do a workshop with us. Sharing shelves open to everyone. We don't take a photo and ask where you live. So just come out and access. And honestly, quite often we get so much fruit and produce that needs to go home and be eaten. So, yeah. Actually, if you come out, hit me up and I'll give you a tour. Is this your writing? You should have been a doctor.
I am a doctor, yes. Okay. Just that was the one. Is it only viable in small communities?
I think it works well in a small community, but I mean, if you look around the country, somewhere like Lower Hutt is huge and vast, and they've got the Remakery. I think it can work in any community. There's initiatives in Auckland that work really well. There's initiatives in Wellington that work really well. So it helps when you're in a small community, but I think it's viable anywhere. You create community, that's the thing. It's not, bound by borders. Next generation of volunteers. Did you want to extrapolate on what you mean by that? Because we talked a little bit.
Yeah, it's just that the older generation were used to belonging to all sorts of community organisations and so on. As you said, two income families, they're too busy working. So they haven't got that tradition. So when we move on, will there be the people with the experience to pick it up as they move on?
I think it needs to be people in positions like mine, who look after or work for community groups, it needs to be a very concerted effort. For me, because I'm really aware of the pressures of having a young family and all the time and all that kind of stuff, I try to make those volunteering opportunities really accessible for people with small kids. We do family-friendly working bees where you can bring your little kids and they can run around and have experience, planting and stuff. Or we do things on weekends, because a lot of these things kind of happen during the workday, which people can't get to. I'm very aware of making sure that we've got younger people coming in on a board level as well. We've got a woman on the board who's been on the book for, I think, 3 years now, and she's got three young children, but we really value her, whatever input she can give us, you know what I mean? Because I think it's diversity on boards is really important, and succession on boards is really important. So it's really just making it about being accessible to people who are working, who are tired, who need your kids. Oh, and we work really closely too, sorry, with Ashes School, with volunteering opportunities. A lot of those kids do things like the Weed Pipe Challenge, so we offer things for, you know, sort of younger kids and sort of intermediate age kids.
I will throw one comment on that. It came up when we had this seminar series on volunteers and so on. With so many organisations now, with the legal requirements, the organisations need the secretary, the chairman, the treasurer and so on. And that's often one of the biggest problems. But for people of working age, it's where you can maybe one evening a month or something like that, do that sort of role, and it's something on your CV, which is often something that can be quite beneficial or even required.
Well, yes, sitting on a board, I'd say, thinking about all the groups that I know and the Manawatu who are similar to Recap, everyone's always after board members. And really it's a one night a month word gone. Thank you. Commitment. It's a one night a month commitment, you know, for a few hours. It can be as little or as much as you like, which is how I always spin it when I'm trying to get new board members. It's like, look, you can just come and sit, and we do have a couple of people just come and sit and give expertise at the board meeting, and then we have people who put in 20 hours a week, you know, so.
I've heard people say that to me as well. It's only once a month.
Well. Is it economical to grow your own food? Is special knowledge needed? Yes and no. Gardening can be really, really complicated, and it can be really, really simple. I call myself a chaos gardener. I work for a permaculture-based group, but I'm a chaos gardener through and through. At the end of the day, we're chucking stuff in the ground, so none of it grows. One thing that I would say to the kids, you know, it's all about your soil. If you can build good soil and you've got good soil, that's half the job. But yeah, it can be so simple. I was talking about sort of broke gardening this weekend. So it's about layering natural resources to build soil. So if you were to go away and replicate that at home, it would cost less than $20 to set up a garden bed, because we're using free seeds from the seed library, we're using leaves, we're using sticks, we're using pony poo we picked up on the side of the road, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, so we keep it, for that one I keep it super simple just to get people started. It can be really economical, but it is labour. I think that's the thing, it is time and energy, and yeah, you get better as it, as you acquire more knowledge, but I'm of the opinion that pretty much everyone can grow civil bee and parsley, you know what I mean? And if you're going through a long winter, you know, those things are actually really valuable. We have nice fresh greens. Sorry, I could talk about this for another 2 hours.
That's all right. The next side to have ground stuff is that it always comes right, or it all comes ripe at the same time.
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Well, that's another part of gardening that you learn is succession planting. Because, yeah, definitely I've had the gluts, and now I know, you know, now my garden's in a place where I can just go out maybe for 2 hours every week, and just, or 2 hours every couple of weeks, and get, you know, the next lot of broccoli and all the next lot of this, and so I do have a bit more of it. But then in saying that, I ended up with so many potatoes all at once. That's a learning curve. That's why I like it. You're always learning. I mean, you guys are all here because you're always learning, right? So that's what I love about gardening. Sorry, next one. You mentioned sustainable approaches to fruit trees. Can you give a bit more background to your methods? No, but if you come to the pruning workshop, you've got two people there with decades of knowledge about sustainable fruit tree care. So I could give you a half-baked response. But I'd come along to the workshop. And that's not just to plug the workshop. I mean, I've learned so much from the two gentlemen that run that workshop. So I would, if you're really interested in that question, sign up for the workshop.
So how did they do that?
What's that?
How did they do that?
If you go to pick up on the way, I've put a whole lot of materials back there. You can either pick one up. There should be some brochures, and they've got all of our, well, the next four upcoming workshops, and it has all the information. You basically just go to recap.org.nz and you follow a link that says here, you sign up, that's it. And pruning is free. You can give us a koha if you'd like, but it is a free workshop.
Yeah.
second, I think the last one. Sorry, somebody's got... Another doctor?
Regenerative, you talk to the school pupils about this. What is your definition and what are your messages you want the pupils to take home?
Regenerative. Just that cyclic nature of gardening. Not dashing off to the tomato tent to buy everything. We've talked about building compost at the school, so everything, all the weeds that we pull out, when we prune the grapevines, when the... this Monday we had a great session at Garden Club because we had a leaf hunt. We have a leaf hunt two or three times a year where we basically just, I basically give the kids feed sacks and they hoon around the school collecting all the dead leaves. Lots of fun. So yeah, regenerative means, for me, when I'm teaching it at the school, it's a look, again, looking around at all our natural resources, all the leaves that we can collect, the prunings, the trimmings, all those kinds of things. You know, they bring at me apple cores and banana peels and things like that from their lunch boxes, which get fed to the rooms and put in the compost. And again, getting into the seed saving part of that this year has been really rewarding, because we grew some pumpkins from, you know, a set of hawk seeds. We grew the beautiful pumpkins, we scooped out the seeds, we saved the seeds, we're about to put those in the seed library, and some of them take home, you know, and that kind of circular, I guess, would be what I teach the kids.
And which sort of people are most involved in these areas? You know, the people you're helping, you've got the food banks and so on. Is it generally people on lower income or unemployed people?
That's a tricky one because we don't ask questions and we don't make judgments and we try not to make assumptions. It becomes tricky at the end of the year when we do the, because I work with the food bank and the RSA and the Lions to do the community, the Christmas hampers for people. So we sort of tend to quietly kind of go around with the different community groups and organisations of the school and things like that and just say, hey, do you know someone who might appreciate this year? It might be financial hardship or it might just be a really tough year for other reasons. That becomes a bit tricky because I have nominated people who have come to community quite on an assumption and my assumption's been wrong. So, but yeah, it was very important to me to open up community kai just to try and shake off that stigma of shame of accessing free food. So a lot of people turn up who maybe don't need it, but they like the idea of saving stuff, and we have enough to provide for those people as well. So we see a vast range of people. Sorry, I'm trying to think how to put this. I don't like making judgments based on how people look, and I don't ask questions, so, yeah. I'm assuming, you know, but sort of knowing people in a small community, we are seeing a lot of working families coming through now that we haven't seen before, which speaks a lot to the economic pressures that a lot of everybody really is facing. So. Yep.
Now, any questions from the floor?
Yes.
I always find pests put me off gardening.
Yeah.
So I have to deal with pest control.
Cover everything. Yep, so the white butterfly, you know, whose caterpillars will decimate your brassicas in a heartbeat. I go to the recycling centre on Ferguson Street and I get those really big water cooler bottles that go in the water coolers. I lop off the bottom, cover my brassica with that, chuck a steak in it, and leave that brassica in there until it's quite big, quite strong, and then take it off so it kind of it builds most of its bulk and then it can kind of sustain. I was wandering down Cambridge Avenue and actually one day and someone was getting rid of all their net curtains, so I scooped those up, put them in, stashed them at the library when I picked them up. So if I'm filling a raised bed, I'll leave that much in the top and I'll chuck that netting. You can get bird netting for dirt cheap at any garden centre as well. And I just chuck that over, put a few bricks on it to hold it and wait for things to get big and strong before I take it off and expose it to the pests, I guess. I tend to avoid pesticides and things like that. There's a great website called Bioforce where you can buy larvae for ladybugs and lacewings and things like that. So we've had a lot of psyllids and aphids on our tomatoes and my husband loves going to Bioforce and he loves seeing all of the lacewings come out. So that's another way. I've actually got part of the written stuff I have for Bright Gardening is actually a couple of pages of natural pest control methods, like garlic spray, homemade bear traps for slugs and snails. A whole lot of things. You don't need to go out and buy pesticide. It's really bad to go out and buy pesticide because not only are you killing the bad bugs, you're killing the good bugs, and then you end up using more pesticide in the long run as they get immune to it. I just think it's something I want to avoid. But I find just covering everything until it's quite well established. But yeah, get a chili pepper and a clove of garlic, put it in a glass jar, put it in the fridge, dilute that in a spray bottle, and most bugs really hate that. So that's my last resort. I know how you feel. We've got a beautiful big veggie pot at the school garden, and we're growing these brassicas, and it's growing great. And we got back after school holidays and lifted it up, and there's just aphids everywhere. And I was like, oh. But, you know, teaching women, right? So, you know, we talked about trap crops for aphids. So if you plant a bit of kale next, you know, if you're not big on kale, it's fine. Plant a bit of kale, but aphids will love it. But we sort of talked about that. But again, that's another one where I send the kids off to try and find ladybugs. So we bought all the ladybugs back and put them in there to eat the aphids. So, yeah, cover things. Sorry, again, another subject I've got to rip for an hour.
Firstly, I'd like to applaud your passion and commitment. The world needs a lot more people like you. Mm-hmm. Secondly, do you have any trouble with the commercial seed people with regard to your seed bank?
In what way?
Well, I'm aware of that they do dirty tricks to stop people from necessarily being able to germinate their seeds. Do what you do cause any problems to them?
No. We don't turn anything down. Like before I got to RENCAP, there was a very strict rule at the seed bank that there couldn't be any hybrid seeds, which I agreed with, but I tried to open it up to more people. And I think really what was missing there was education as to what a hybrid seed means. Sorry, just give me a second. I mean, there's dirty tricks all over the place. So we have, at the back there, we've got just a little bit of information about our seed library and how it works. Because we get a whole lot of commercial seeds and because we get a whole lot of donations, we kind of don't really know if anything's viable. It's kind of like in the drawer. So we do sort of recommend if people take it away to do a germination test, and we sort of outline that. But yeah, the commercial seeds, I mean, I think some of the old heads at RECAP would prefer if we didn't use them, but I think that we need to get more people started in gardening, and I think a hybrid would work really well for the first time. I'm not sure if I'm answering the question very well. Yeah, I mean, there probably are a lot of dirty tricks. I tend to not buy a lot of seeds for that purpose. I try to push people towards saving their seeds or accessing other seeds like that. Just to sort of side quest a little bit, one thing we are having a problem with at the moment is sort of roadside manure and bags of compost and potting mix having pesticide residue and completely destroying gardens. So I've not had an issue with it apart from one garden bed at Asher School where we put an unknown bag of compost. I think I was donated it. And the alliums are growing well, but the broad beans are, you know, two seasons of this shriveling. And again, it's a teaching moment, but it's just kind of like, whew, you know? Like, and it might come, and I know another person who collected a whole lot of roadside pony poo, and that killed her entire garden because of the pesticide residue that's coming through. So, yeah. Sorry, I did side quest there. Yes, there are dirty tricks, I'm sure, but we gratefully accept all seeds, and we teach people how to see if those seeds are viable. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, we don't even know if someone gives us a big bag of pumpkin seeds that might be 10 years old and might not generate anyway. Hopefully that kind of answered your question.
Thank you very much. And secondly, you talked about you still got an email on your computer that you sent. Did you send it or did you just write it?
It's still there.
Sorry?
No, I didn't send it. It's still there because, like I said, I think I had a bit of naivety going into that job. And I've been lucky in Ashurst. I mean, we've got a nice little community, but I know in other places, you know, it's pretty rough. I still think she spoke to these people, you know, just with the belittling and the disdain was just really hard to deal with. Yeah, it's still in there. Sometimes I go back and look at it, but I'm not going to... Fear is a passer.
No, just sometimes the catharsis of actually writing
exactly,
is what it's all about.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, I think I was with my fear.
I know somebody that could be useful to you. She makes high quality produce, but it's not selling very well. You may know her, Meghan Markle.
They got a laugh. What's that about? Take a
while. No, it's not someone in New Zealand, Meghan Markle.
Oh, Meghan Markle. I thought you said Becca someone. Okay, Meghan Markle, right. Yeah, I don't think she needs any help from anybody,
yeah. Just one thing, probably a bit of a spoiler, but looking round at some of the community gardens around, they don't seem very productive or very well done. I mean, would you say it's a learning process, so it's valuable? Or
I think the amount of labour that it takes to sustain a community garden and succession, because, I mean, everybody goes, oh, let's start a community garden, it'd be great, and then they have all this energy for when it starts, but then 2-3 years down the line, it's less shiny and new, and people kind of fall away. We did have a bit of a quiet, problem with that out the back of the library and the garden beds. I sort of left, it was really kind of the boss's domain. And then last year I kind of looked and said, we've actually got to turn over that soil because it's depleted, it's had so many things growing in it. So, yeah, I think it's, again, that succession of volunteers and knowing that gardens... You know, like I said, you trade off money for time and energy. You know, you can grow a garden very cheaply, but it does take labour. And when things, when that newness wears off of things, people aren't so willing to go and do the work.
Okay. Any more questions?
No, I noticed there when you had some women with some windfall fruit. I think that's one of the areas of education that's probably could have great payoff because I came off of, when I was a child, we never wasted anything from a farm where you just couldn't go down and buy stuff, it was too far. Anything in the orchard that fell down had to be collected.
Yeah.
And I notice now with the grandchildren, we have a big discussion with them, I suppose, but they'll get a peach, lovely big peach, and it's just dropped on the ground and it's got a bruise about as big as your thumbnail.
Yeah.
Oh, no good.
Yeah.
They'll get an apple that's got a couple of hail spots on it. Oh, what is that? Must have cancer. And they waste a tremendous lot. And I think education in how to cook. We put out food every mess. They bring down a couple of things and they've told us a lot of the food that's like carrots and stuff, if you bring those, the people haven't got the cooking skills.
Yeah.
So they want, something with a little tray in the bottom that they can put in and warm up.
Yeah.
So I think it's great what you're doing, but it needs a cooking side.
Oh, absolutely.
Put up as well.
I mean, we'd love to do that, but I mean, you've got super grants on that one. You know, I've often thought about cooking lessons. Not just at Rehab, but so we sort of assume that kids are getting taught the stuff at school. I mean, even back when I did home ec, we had the Evans cookbook kind of slid across the desk and like, there you go. It didn't really teach us anything. I had to teach myself how to cook. But yeah, that point about blemished vegetables and fruits and things that don't look supermarket perfect. See, I've got this really big berm garden outside my house. It's been there for about 4 years. I find people don't pick from it. I find, and when I used to go, because I used to work for another organisation where we'd go around the schools, if something didn't look like it came from the supermarket, yeah, it gets roundly rejected, not just from kids, but by adults. I don't know how to fix that. Just education, for sure. But yeah, that's something that really bugs me when, especially when adults don't want to take something because it doesn't look like, there's a few, bug holes and I can't. Yuck. I don't really understand it. But yeah, the cooking side of it, someone actually asked me before they had to leave. We can provide all this food, but if the people that are receiving it don't know how to cook it or prepare it, it's kind of a bit pointless. We do, at Community Kai, we do try and educate people a little bit about what they can do with some of the weather ingredients or some of the weather things. But yeah, there's definitely a gap there, and you know, again, that generational kind of cooking skills aren't being passed down like they should. And I do, I think it does come back to you know, those two income households where mum and dad are exhausted. Because, you know, I certainly remember how that feels when we were both working and, you know, we'd come home and throw together a dinner because it's all we had in us, and, you know, to turn around and be able to teach our kids that was. Sorry, again, I'm rambling. Hopefully that's
good.
Okay, but from a whole series of seminar series that we've had, the thing that struck me, we think, oh, well, we'll look at sort of music in the manner of two, we'll look at voluntary group, we'll look at drama, things like that. The amount that we see that is actually going on that a lot of people don't know about. I mean, people are in contact with the things you're doing, they see all that happening. But so many, I mean, one reason for these seminars is that people are finding just all the initiatives being taken. And I think for your area, the sort of thing you're doing, the fact you might have stumbled into it, you're motivated and got into it, and then found all the different ways to do things that are all adding value to our community and deserve a lot of support. Because, you know, as they say now, people are getting very connected through the internet, but that's not giving social connection. But the actual activities you're doing, the community building that does, is extremely important. So,
if you want to learn more, and I'm sure in a couple of weeks we'll have Maureen from Environment Network 102. If you want to learn more about the different groups, you can go to Environment Network 102's page and go to their member groups list. And I think they have around about 60 member groups, not just around Kai, but around sustainability and resilience and all that kind of stuff, so and environmental things. Another on King Street is Tupu Harakeke, which is sort of like a kind of like a community group hub, but it's more sort of for people to have an office. But if you go into their website as well and go into their member groups, you'll see another list of people. I mean, there's hundreds of groups. I mean, there's so many just our nation. So
yeah. And Volunteer Central as well.
Volunteer Central, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, on behalf of everyone here, thank you very much for your efforts.